Good morning, everyone. It's 10 o'clock, and here we are again, Baruch Hashem, with a great, great zchus to learn another sicha of the Rebbe. We are in Chelek Yudalet of Likutei Sichas. We're doing Ekev Aleph, and this sicha, if you could see right under the word Ekev, which is this week's parsha, that it says Chaf Menachem Av. And we'll see in the Sicha that is a special connection to Chaf Av, which is the yard site of the Rebbe's father, Hagon HaMekubal, Reb Levi Yitzchak. So it's a Sicha that addresses both the Parsha and the special day of Chaf Menachem Av, which is exactly a week from today on Monday. This Sicha should come with a little bit of a warning. There are so many paradigm shifts that you can actually get a case of conceptual whiplash. So I'm just warning you, so there's no suing afterwards. We all want to cover ourselves these days. So let's begin. B'tam hasmicha shel shviras haluchos l'misa aharon b'parshasenu. As a reason for the juxtaposition of the breaking of the luchos to the death of Aharon, both of which are mentioned in this week's parsha, Amru Razal, our sages taught us, because the death of tzaddikim, the leave-taking from this world of tzaddikim, is as difficult before Hashem as the breaking of the luchos of the tablets. Vehine, kishatoras emes mashve bezin yonim, when the Torah compares two things, hareza hashva amitis vikoleles, it is a true and all-encompassing comparison. In other words, it's not like, you know, there's a concept and there's an analogy and the analog is not that aligned with the original concept, but you get the idea. The Rebbe says that when there are two things compared, it has to be true and it has to be all-encompassing. So Samerit says, this is to say, Shahashvat misasan shel tzadikim l'shviras ha'aluchos, so comparing the leave-taking from this world of tzaddikim with the breaking of the luchos, it's not just that we're saying that these two things are difficult before God, which is in and of itself a very interesting expression, like what is difficult for the creator of heaven and earth, but we'll leave that aside. We'll see. The Rebbe explains something about this, and in general, it's for another time. But it's not just that these are two difficult things. And it's not even that the level of difficulty is equal. But it's that they are similar in the actual content, in the essence of what we're talking about. This is the reason, because they are similar, that's the reason. And the way in which it is difficult and the way in which we compare the two, the way in which they're similar, this is just the result of the essential similarity between these two things. And because they are similar, that is the breaking of the luchos and the leave taking of tzaddikim from this world are similar conceptually, therefore, everything that is true about the breaking of the luchos has to also be true in the paradigm relating to the death or the leave taking of tzaddikim. And so we have to understand, mahu hatzad hashaved deshviras haluchos umisasan shel tzaddikim. What is the common denominator between the breaking of the luchos and the death of tzaddikim? Bichlalos inyanam, in most general terms, ubameh hadimyu dehapratim. And in which way are the details similar? I'm going to break now just to tell everybody that's come on for a moment that we're in the Likutei Sichas Yudalid, and we're doing Ekev Chaf Menachem of Sicha Aleph. And I also want to draw your attention to the fact that in the group chat, there is a sign up link. And if you want to get a reminder every Monday morning about this, because sometimes it's on COL, sometimes it's not, and this has been problematic for some people, please go to the group chat and press on that link and follow instructions. Okay, so in answer to the question, we're not looking at any specific psukim per se. We're discussing a concept, and that is a juxtaposition of the death of Aharon and the breaking of the luchos, both of which are mentioned in this parsha very in close proximity. And the Rebbe says that Rashi brings down, and we're taught that these two things were difficult before God. And the Rebbe says that it's not just in some like general way that these two things are linked, but that they're linked in a very, very essential and deep way. We're now in Siv Beis. V'hine. Av sheshvirus haluchos hitzara, v'kasha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though the breaking of the luchos is a calamity and was very difficult before God. Matzino sheyesh bagam inin l'malayusa. But we find that there is some type of superiority that is attached to the broken luchos. What is the proof for this? When the Jews went to war, they took the Aron, they took the Holy Ark, in which were also found the broken luchos. So if the luchos were broken, why were they retained in general and then taken out every time the Jews went to war? It would seem that this is actually difficult to understand. It's a wonder why. The broken luchos are a reminder of a terrible sin, the sin of chet ha'egel. The lo chet stam, el chet ha'egel she'olav ne'amar. It's not just a pedestrian sin. It's a sin about which it said, uviyon pakti ufakarati aleim chatasam. Hashem says that when I remember that, I will remember it in every sin. Rashi says, She'ein puranos ba al Yisrael, She'ein baktas mipiraon avon ha'egel. There is no calamity. There is no difficulty. There is no travail. There is no tzara. There is no punishment that comes upon Bnei Yisrael that doesn't have a little bit of the punishment of the deleterious factor of chet ha'egel. It's like the quintessential starter for yogurt. It's like this country has gone mad and everybody's making sourdough. You need a culture for your yogurt and you need a starter for your sourdough. This is a starter of all punishment. Why would you want to bring that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you go to war and you're so vulnerable, right? We know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear, he doesn't wear the big day kohuna that are gold. So as to not remind God of this sin. And here we're taking the Shivrei Aluchos every time we go out to war. The Ech Yitachin, Shabbaesha B'nai Yisrael, Yotzim Lemachama, Sha'az Zukukim B'yosel Lelimut Chos to Lesoris Rachmim Ayde Mitzvah Matzim Tovim. How is it possible that when they go out to war and they are most needy of Schusim, of merits to protect them, and they are most needy of arousing God's mercy? As it says in the Torah, when you go out to war on your enemies, when we go to war, we don't have the same rules as the rest of the world, that all is fear and love and war. No, we have very, very, very high levels of expectations of what will happen in the machane of Bnei Yisrael, the holiness and the purity, because we are going out to war and machanecha has to be kodesh, your camp has to be holy. So then when you're most vulnerable and you want to be ma'ore rachamim and you want to have schusim, then you're going to trot out the proof positive of the most terrible sin. So from this, it is proven. So it must be, the Rebbe says, that it's dafka, specifically in the broken luchos, in the shards, that there is a limut zchus, that there is something that comes to teach, that is meritorious about the Jews when they go out to war. V'lo'od, and not only that. It is a very great zchus. Why do we know that this is a great zchus? Because those that went out to war were all meritorious. They were all tzaddikim. She'ein b'yadam ela mitzvos ma'asim tovim. These were people that were filled with mitzvos ma'asim tovim, right? Because the Torah says, "Mi shehaya yari me'aver shebiyado nitzdava yelech v'yashuv lebeisa v'lo yimas v'gomer." Anybody who felt that they had sinned, anybody who had felt that they were spiritually compromised, was instructed to go back home and not make other people fearful that the Jews might lose the war because they were found with demerits. The chol zeloya maspik. So here you have the creme de la creme. You've weeded out anybody who doesn't have skosim. But this is not enough. But you dafka need the broken, the shards of the luchos to go with them to war. Move on. And so from this we understand that this is the same thing with the death, with the leave taking from this world of tzaddikim. Gam ba yesh maila gedola v'yisera dugmas hamaila shebeshviras haluchos. In the leave taking from this world of tzaddikim, there is also some spectacular superiority, just like there was with the broken luchos. V'yesh lomar, and in the brackets, Rebbe says, we might even say, shahabitui kasha misasan shel tzaddikim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishviras haluchos, that the very anomalous and interesting term that something is difficult for God, kasha, nirmas gam ha'ilu shebishnei yonim elu, that this alludes to the exaltedness of these two things, the breaking of the luchos and the death of a tzaddik. Ki kasha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzinu b'inishu utachlis hatov, because this same expression we find accorded to something that was the essence of good, k'maymer azal, kasha k'kriyas yamsof, that is difficult as kriyas yamsof. Asher kriyas yamsof haya echad hanisim hayoter gdolim ben alim. Kriyas yamsof remains the archetype of a great and wondrous miracle. So the word kasha might also, the Rebbe says, we might say, alludes to something here that is completely extraordinary. The tzarek lahavin, and so we have to understand. Mahi hamayla b'misasan shel tzadikim u'b'shvirasan shel aluchos. What is this great superior aspect of these two things, the death of tzadikim and the breaking of the luchot? D'lechora himinyonim shekol kulam hu hefach hamala. Because on the face of it, it would seem that they are intrinsically and completely antithetical to anything positive. And so our job is to understand what it is, that what is inherent in these twin things that both are said to be kasha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gimel. We're now in the third part of the Sicha, Ekev, Chaf Menachem of Lekutei Sichas Yudalet. Behine, Gabe Luchos HaRishonim Ne'amar, regarding the first Luchos, it is said, V'haluchos Ma'aseh Elokim Hima, V'hamichtav Michtav Elokim Hu, Chorus Al HaLuchos. The Torah describes the first Luchos as the handiwork of God, and the writing is the writing of God, and the writing was engraved on the tablets, hainu. Shehayu behem shtei ma'alos. We have to look here and be attentive to the fact that there are two things in the description of the luchos. Aleph, ma'alos haluchos mitzad atzma, ma'asa lukim hema. The first is that they are the handiwork of God. I mean, what else is there to say, right? If you have a Picasso, hang your head in shame. You know, this is the handiwork of God. Okay, so that's Aleph. And Beis, ma'alasa mitzad michtav Elokim hacharas aleim. And then there's the fact that God engraved the letters into the tablet. So there's two things going on here. Ba'av shebahaluchos mitzad atzmam ha'isa ma'ala niflaha hanema le'il. B'chol zos amru chazal nistakel Moshe behen. V'ra sheparach ksav me'alehen. Amar ha'ech ani nosi lehem Yisrael es haluchos she'ein bahem mamash. Ela echos ve'eshperim. So even though the Luchos were so spectacular that they both were the handiwork of God and they had words, letters that were engraved by Hashem, and still in all, Chazal tell us that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, we had been sequestered with God and he was getting the whole Torah. And last week we even learned that he was getting the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. And then Moshe came down and he saw the scene. Then Moshe looked at the Luchos themselves and he saw that the letters were floating upwards from upon the Luchos. And he said, how can I give this to Bnei Yisrael? How can I give them these tablets, these Luchos? She'ein bahem mamash. There's nothing here. Ela echos, I will take hold of them, the eshbarim, and I will break them. So the Rebbe is now going to ask three questions on this Maimer Chazal. Aleph. Gam la'acha sheparach sab me'aleim, even after the letters escaped and floated upwards from upon the Luchos, adayin nish'aru b'ma'alosam ha'nifla she'hem ma'as Elokim. But the Rebbe says, remember, we just reviewed that the Torah tells us that in and of themselves, without anything having been inscribed on them, they were ready, the Maase Elokim. This is God's handiwork. Ve'eich omar alei Moshe she'ein bahem mamash. So how could Moshe use this expression, ein bahem mamash, there's nothing here. Beis, ein bahem mamash, tam shelo yitnim liYisrael. Okay. So let's say we understand what it means she'ein bahem mamash, and this is a reason not to give it to them. Ke'im legonza mekiyotza bazeh, put into gniza. Put it away, hide it away. Avalo inin de bizoyan, eshperin. But why deprecate these luchas, these holy things? Why this bizoyan, this embarrassment that you break them? And gimel, pshita de tzarech lios echos, umay kamashmila. Obviously, this echos means I'm holding on, Moshe's holding on to them. What are we being taught? And especially prepares that, especially in this understanding, there are other writings, there are other teachings that say that perhaps Moshe took the luchos from the skenim at a certain point and broke them. But according to this explanation, he was holding them the whole time. So what is the underscoring of I will hold on to them and then I will break them? We're now in Siv Dalet. If at any point you have a question or something, please unmute yourself and ask. I want to go at want to go consistently in the clip, but not too fast. Or
can you just review what the point of Gimel was?
The question of Gimel is
final what, question.
Yeah. What? Thank you for asking. Why did the Maimer Chazal have to tell us that Moshe grabbed hold echos? I will grab hold of the luchos and then I'll break them. It seems he was holding them. So why underscore I will grab hold of them and I will break them? That's the third question. Dalid, Bahabir Bazar, Behektem Dugma Ladavar. So now the Rebbe says that he's going to bring an example. Now I just want to preface before this example that it's an example and it's fascinating and it's holy and it's important. But if you get hung up on it, don't worry, because you'll still be able to get the rest of the sicha fine. But the Rebbe brings the following example: Gol mechomer hachiyokor. If you have nuggets or chunks of chomer of a material, even if it's the most expensive material in the world, let's say gold. Einam chashuvim ad kedei lekabel tuma, ki im tzarech lios naasit kli. They are not something that are worthy of becoming tamei. So in the laws of tuma and tara, there's something that's counterintuitive about that. And that is that in order for something to be mekabel tuma, it has to be worthy. It has to be important enough. So in the halachas of tuma and tara, if you have chomer, You have substance, you have material. Even if it's the most expensive material in the world, it is not susceptible to tuma. It doesn't deserve to be mekabel tuma yet until it's made into a vessel. And the keli, the vessel, has to be complete. It has to be exactly what the manufacturer, what the craftsperson had in mind in order for it to be considered a kli, in order for it to be able to be mekabel tuma. La'achri gemar meleches hakli v'nitma. So let's say once the vessel was complete, and then it became. And let's say after that, so after the kli was complete in its manufacture, then it became tame, somebody that was tame, some kind of tuma, touched the kli. Now the kli became tame. After that, somebody by mistake knocked this kli off the table and it got chipped. Okay? So nechsar bishlemus hakli. So now something is missing. There's a chip. So even though we understand from what we explained that this is a big demotion for the kli, because now it has a chip, you're definitely not going to bring it out when you want to impress people. And we also just finished saying that it's not the kli is not mekabel tuma until it's complete, right? But even though after it was complete, it was mekabel tuma, it now lost its stature and its completeness. But since it's only a chip, it still retains bechozot betumasa omedes. It retains its status as a tummy receptacle. And here comes something important to pay attention to. First, I'm going to read without the parentheses. Ushvirasa zuhi takanasa. And in breaking it, this is the only way you could fix it, bitul hatuma. This is the only way to obviate the tuma from this, is to break it. Now let's go back to the parentheses that we skipped. Ushvirasa, and breaking it, mitafkida ha'ikri, from its essential purpose. For instance, demashke b'motzi mashke, like a receptacle is meant to be like a pitcher for liquids. If it's not a pitcher anymore because you broke it, so a pitcher with a chip is a chipped pitcher. But a pitcher that is shattered, it's not a pitcher anymore. And shvirasa zuhi takanasa. And in breaking it, that's how you fix its status and it's no longer tummy. Now, in the next paragraph, the Rebbe wants to assure us that even though he wants to kind of take us on a trip here and expand our understanding, but he wants to make sure that we understand that there is, after all, a profound difference between any kli and the luchos on many levels. Vihine. Haluchos hayu luchos evan. First of all, the luchos were made out of stone, sapphire. Shafilu kli gomor in a mekabel tuma. And the halacha is that when it comes to stone, even a complete kli is not mekabel tuma. So that's first of all. Va'od v'ikar filu basar yom min shemayim taharhu. And we also have a halacha that when meat comes down from Shemayim, it's tahar. It's always going to be kosher and it's always going to be pure because it came min haShemayim. Okay? So the luchos were made out of stone. Stone can never become impure. The luchos came from heaven. Everything that comes from heaven is tahar. Balachas kama v'kama luchos shemayis elokim hema. And how much more so luchos that are described as the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, the Rebbe says, but I'm bringing this example to you, avalhu al derech she'amru she'bigdei kodesh medras l'chatas. The Rebbe says, but it's like, I'm going to give you another paradigm. In the Gemara Chagiga, it talks about different levels of tumah, different, more exacting levels of caution that have to be taken to put distance between yourself and tumah. So there are big day kodesh. There are begadim. There are garments that you can wear to do certain avodos, to bring certain karbanos, etc., etc. But to do a higher level of avoda, you have to worry about medras. And medras is this concept where you worry that maybe somebody who's an Am Haaretz, who doesn't know a lot of halacha, might have inadvertently stepped on, trampled on, or sat on begadim, on clothing. They were not aware that in this way they made it unholy. They made it tameh. And so to guard from this, we have to assume that certain things are going to be medras. We don't take any chances, and we assume that there might be a problem. So for certain avodas, you don't have to take such tremendous precautions. And with certain avodas, you have to take even greater precautions. So here we're talking about the fact that we're talking about something that can't become impure. We're talking about the luchos. We're talking about the luchos that came in Shemayim and their Evan, et cetera, et cetera. But still in all, there's a yerida in them that happened after the sin. Vihine. Nesinas haluchos haisa el Moshe va'aminas lahanicham ba'aron. The whole purpose of giving Moshe the luchos was for him to put them in the Aron. It was lemashum letzibor. It wasn't a party favor for him. It was to give it to Bnei Yisrael, to give it to the tzibor. V'lachein kodem she'eshbereim hayetzarech lios echos shahayu sheyiyu shelo legamrei. Before he broke them, he had to first take them. He had to acquire them. He had to do a kinyan of sorts. Echos. He had to very specifically grab hold of them, thus making them his, so that he could break them. So now let's just review. We have explained why this is question number three that we just explained. Why does it say echos? I'm going to hold on to it. He was holding on to it already, but he had to very consciously make a kinyan. We explained question number two. Ein bahem mamash. Why do they have to be broken? Because, like the kli that is makabel tuma, it is only through its brokenness. It is only shvirasa zuhi takanasa. And question number one, we are going to now look more deeply. But the Rebbe has already, on some level, explained this: that how could you say she'ein bahem mamash? Because when it's demoted, it's as if ein bahem mamash. But we have to explain more deeply, and that's what we're going to do. B'signon acher b'primius ha'inyan. To say this differently, and to go more deeply. Mikivan shehamichtav Elokim haya charos ala luchos ba'osios chakika. Because the writing of Hashem was engraved. Haynu shehamichtav lo haya davar nosaf alehim. That means when you engrave something, it's not extraneous to the material upon which it's engraved. It's not additional. Like, for instance, ink on parchment, where you have two materials. Because the writing of Hashem was of the essence of the tablets. It was engraved from it and in it. Hare muvan ki ha'ilui she'amichtav Elokim pa'al ba'aluchos hu ba'ofen she'nis'atzein bahem b'tachlis. This means that the advantage that came to the luchos when God wrote the writing, it created an essential connection between the two that they can't be separated. Haynu shal yidei zeh nasa mitziyosam hamitis hamichtav Elokim hachokok bahem. So now the luchos become, the etzim of the luchos becomes the michtav Elokim. V'lachin kasher porach ksav me'alehin. And so now the Rebbe is addressing the first question of how can Moshe say that ein bahem mamash? Because when the ksav, when the writing flew up from upon the luchos, even though, of course, the luchos remained very, very great because they were the handiwork of Hashem, mikol mokom, still in all, ein bahem mamush. But still in all, you could say it doesn't have anything. V'ra'u l'shavram, and therefore it can be broken. Heyosu kvar nechkak v'nis'ati behem shamitius mitziusam hu hamichtav Elokim. Because it has already been established that the essential thing about the luchos is the writing, and now the writing has kind of left the luchos. So what's left? In the bracket, you say Ramizu, and even more so, parach ksav me'aleim bepashtos. Simply speaking, let's just, without any deep explanations now, just simply think about it. When something is engraved, We can't say that it was the actual letters that left the luchos. Why would you say there's nothing important, there's nothing mamashistic, there's nothing really to talk about? You would say there's just nothing. But again, think about it simply. When you engrave something, you can't separate it from the material into which it's engraved. For as long as the luchos were whole, before they were broken, so the writing that was engraved in them was also complete. Ella. Hakavana. So what is the intention of Shaparach that it floated away, that flew away? It's Haruach HaKodesh Shahayu Bekerev Kol Os Va'os. It's the godly, heavenly spirit, the Holy Spirit that was found in each one of these letters. And this is what flew upward. Umizem, move on, and from this it's understood. Shamitis Hametziu Shal Haluchos Haisa. So from this we understand that the essential existence of the luchos was lo rak guf hachtav, elo beikar hanishama v'haruach shebachtav. That the essential thing about the luchos was not the letters as they were engraved, but the spirit, the Holy Spirit that was contained in these letters. Shelachein kasher parach haruach. When this spirit, when this holiness went upwards, when the neshama shelachtav, even though, yes, the letters in their form remained, ein bahem mamash. There's nothing substantial there. And now he is going to explain how this is connected to every person and specifically to a tzaddik. Si'if hei. V'hine dugma shtei hamalot d'kdusha shahayu b'luchas harishonim. Just like there were these two great components, these two great characteristics of the luchos. There was the fact that the luchos themselves were created by Hashem. And then there was this spectacular writing that was carved out in them. So too we find in every Jew. Shehu murkav miguf u'neshama. A Jew is a composition, is a combination, a synergy of body and soul. Gufo shel ish ha-yisraeli hu bedugmas haluchos atzmam, shehayu ma'ase elokim. The body of a Jew is like the luchos. It's ma'ase elokim. It's the handiwork of Hashem. U'kemohem gam guf ha-yisraeli yesh bo kiddusha nifla'ah. Every Jewish body has wondrous, spectacular holiness attached to it. And the soul that is put into the body, dugmas hamichta belukim, that is like the writing of God on the luchos. Shahayacharis haluchos ubeneshama atzma, and the neshama itself. Kama bechinas hein zulif nimzu. There are many levels of the neshama. In the footnote 29, the Rebbe brings down that there are five levels of the neshama. There were various levels in this writing, in the holy writing. O bechlalos neshama, neshama l'neshmasa. There are various levels. Nefesh ruach neshama, chaya yechida. Al derech hanal b'mechtav elokim. And it's the same thing in this ksav, in this writing, that there were various levels. O kamo shehaluchos. And just like in the luchos, even though we can say that just the luchos themselves, by virtue of the fact that Hashem had cut them out from a celestial quarry and formed them in that exact square, like the Gemara tells us, in that exact size, that in itself is amazing. Sharei mitzvusim shel haluchos heisa kayemis kodem shenichras behem aseres hadibros. Because the luchos existed before the aseres hadibros were inscribed in them. Uvechol zot. And still in all, even though this is true, and even though we can all agree that this is true, hinei la'achrei shenichrusu behem aseres hadibros, nis'alu be'ilui atzmi, ad shekol mitziusam hu ha'mechtev elokim. But once Hashem inscribes the luchos in it, it rises to such an essential and great level, and its whole essence really becomes about the mikdav, about the writing. So even though, yes, there were luchos before, but once the writing is inscribed, it's a completely different commodity. So much so that when the Holy Spirit rises upward from the writing, Moshe says about it, "Ein b'hem mamash." There's nothing substantial here. And that led to their breaking and the loss of their existence as luchos. And kein hu gam b'nogeh l'guf ha'yisraeli. And so it is when we talk about a Jew and the Jewish body. Da'av she'ein hisa'avo shorish ha'guf va'atzmuso minishmaso elo mitipos avivimo. Even though the origin of the body is from the biological material, the drops of biological material that come from the mother and the father, and the body is vivified before the neshama is put in, and the neshama is put in different stages, and it's an unfurling. Mikol makom, even so, la'achrei shehaneshama nislapsha baguf. But once the neshama is enclosed in the body, shleimus hislapsha zuhi she'ein haneshama davar nosef al atzmoso. So the way this hislapshus, the way in which the neshama is enclosed in the body, its completion is such that the soul is not something separate, extra, extraneous to the body. Ela shahaneshama nasis mehusa dahaguf. The neshama becomes the essence of the body. V'chene'emar, like it says, shechaye hatzadik, especially when you talk about a tzadik, you could see this with spectacular clarity. What is the life of a tzadik? Einam chayim b'sarim. It's not the pedestrian, you know, flesh and blood. But when you talk about the life of a tzaddik, what's the life of a tzaddik? It's faith, it's awe of God, and it's love of God. And this is the analogy, and this is the way we parallel and we compare the leave-taking from this world of a tzaddik to the breaking of the luchos. Because in both cases, it is different from the way it was. V'haruchnius, v'hanishama, v'hamichtav elokim, the spirituality, the soul, the writing of God, as it were, nase kol mitziusam, right? That becomes the main thing. Al pi kol hanal. So once we understand this, yuvan gam godel ha'ilu shebeshviras haluchos, beshivrei haluchos. Sorry. So now we're in a position to understand what is the greatness of the broken luchos, that they should be taken out to war, that they should accompany the Jews when they need the greatest level of schusim. V'shaykhusu lemelchama. And what is the connection to doing war? That when they went out to war, they took out the luchos, they took out the aron that had the luchos, when, like we said earlier, it should have been something they left behind, hid, so as not to evoke and conjure up this great sin. But the Rebbe says, no, it's a tremendous ilui here. Tochna shel melchemes b'nei Yisrael hu. Because what is the essence of the wars that the Jews had to stage or had to react to? Av shahayu dor deya bamidbar. So take a look. Who are these people that had to go to war? We're talking about a dor deya. We're talking about the generation of spectacular knowledge. They lived in the Midbar. They were, for the most part, divorced and divested from anything physical, material, corporeal, which is Alpi Chassidus, why they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to have to leave this spectacular existence. But even though they were this Dar Dea, La'avar Hayardin, Ulichbosh Nachal Asgoyim, Eretz Kenan, La'asosa Eretz Yisrael, they were charged with traversing the Jordan River and conquering their territory of the various nations that lived in Eretz Canaan to make it into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz asher enei Hashem elokecha ba mereishis hashana bad acharis hashana. To make it into a piece of a land, a place like no other. V'chol ma shelo nichbasha kol ha'aretz kula. And their charge, their mandate was to conquer the whole territory. This was a Melchemes mitzvah, to take this territory that belonged to the other nations and to transform it into a Dir Lo Yisbarach, a dwelling place for Hashem. It's an awesome charge. So the arousal, the inspiration, and the strength to do this, this comes from the broken luchos. Just like in the Luchos, which started off as holy, just like the Dardea, they're very, very holy, this generation. But then when the Michtav Elohim came into it, but when there came a higher level yet, the writing of Hashem, and it became so much what their essence was, that when the spirit rose upward, then you could say about them, there was nothing there. This concept of the transformation of the luchos from level to level would arouse and inspire those that went out to war. That all the great and spectacular and wonderful things we could say about the Dardea, it's not enough. This is one of the main themes of the Rebbe. It's not enough. Whatever you did, it's not enough. You're the Dardea? Not so impressed. You have to do more. It's true, Shayeshna Behem Ad Ata Shehim Tzadikim. They have the mile of Tzadikim till now. They're great. But still in all, Ki Melchemes Mitzvah V'chobahu, it is a Melchemes Mitzvah, it is their obligation. Lazar is called Hakochos to muster all of their strengths, Lichbosh to conquer, Ubaloshin HaRambam. What do they have to do? As the Rambam describes, Kol Eretz Yisrael HaAmura B'Torah, that they have to really conquer all of Eretz Yisrael, which is mentioned in the Torah. Shezeu kol azeh shetiva Moshe Rabbeinu in piagvor lechofet kol bay olam lekabel mitzvah shenistavu b'nei noach v'chul. That there is a conventional conquest here, and then there is the underbelly, the truth of this conquest, which is that Hashem told Moshe that really they have to conquer the entire world and all the peoples of the world to accept upon themselves all the mitzvos b'nei Noach. Sheikabaloson mipnei shetziva b'hen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. It's not enough, the Rambam explains, that b'nei Noach should do certain things because they're fine people, because they've come to the conclusion that this is a very good way to live. But they have to do it because mipnei shetziva b'hen HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah, because God commanded them to do it. Meaning that this was nothing less. This milchama that they were going to was nothing less than conquering the entire world and making kol ha'olam dir lo yisbarach, making the whole world dir lo yisbarach. And zuhi ha'hora l'kol echad b'echad b'avodasa. And so this is the lesson to each one of us in our avodah. Ein lo la adam lihistapik b'ma she'asa b'avodas Hashem ad ata. God forbid that we should be happy, that we should feel satisfied, that we should feel complacent with what we did until now. Vafilun kvar higila madriga sadik. Even if you're already a tzaddik, even if you're a dardeya, even if you're maisa elokim, mitzvah v'chova hi la'alos l'madrega na'alis yoser. You have to go to the next level. You have to wage war and make this whole world a dir lo yizbarach. You have to integrate the michtav elokim. You have to bring more soul into it. Zayin. V'hine hora zu shayeches gam l'pashtos ha'inyan d'misasan shol tzadikim. And once we understand the power of the broken luchos and what they teach us and what they symbolize, we understand how this crosses over now to the idea of the leave-taking from this world of a tzaddik. Amar Razal, our chachamim taught us, tzaddikim, when it comes to a tzaddik, ein lehem menucha lo ba'olam hazeh v'lo ba'olam haba. A tzaddik doesn't have any rest, not in this world, not in the world to come. Shenemar, as it says, yechu michayil el chayim. They will go always from one strength to another, from level to level. Hainu. She'omdim ba'aliyah t'midis b'avodasam l'konam. They are engaged in an unremitting, constant ascent in their work to their creator. Va'av she'b'chol yimos hashana ein lehem menucha. And even though it's true for every day of the year, hari b'yom ha'yortzeit, but on the day of the yortzeit, and now we're learning this in confluence with Chaf Av. We're a week out from Chaf Av, so this gives us time to prepare and to ponder this great day. Yesh az aliyah yisera. When it comes to the yortzeit, is a much higher level of aliyah than what happens on a regular basis of yechol michayil l'chayim. Mevor b'kama mekomos, it's explained in a few places. D'bechdei la'alos madrig el yona yoser shehi be'ein aroch l'madrigos ha'kodemes, that in order to alight to a higher level that is not at all comparable to the level that you achieved earlier, ha'reze al yedei hakdamas bitul mimadrigoso ha'kodemes. It requires some type of complete abnegation of the previous level. Okay, so this is, I mean, there's a lot in Chassidus about this, about 40 and how this has to do with abnegation of what comes before to open up to what's coming later, in other words, to enter a higher place, you have to really be able to leave your previous paradigm behind. And if you can't leave it, if you can't like break the shell, you can't grow into the next level. Obalashin Admar Hazakin, like the Alter Rebbe explains, on the Pasuk, Sheva Yipol Tzadik, on the Pasuk that a Tzadik might even fall seven times, but come and he'll pick himself up. The Alter Rebbe explains, Obe Madrega la Madrega, between one Madrega, between one level and the other, Terem Sheyagid la Madrega El Yona Mimena, before he gets to the higher level, Hu Befchines Nefila Mi Madrega Harishona. There has to be the falling. There has to be the leave-taking. There has to be the rotting of the seed in order for something new to blossom, as it were. And now we're in a better position to understand what it means, the leave-taking from this world of a tzaddik, the death, as it were. Shahamisa, in quotes, the death, as it were, bitul mitziosam hakodemes. It's the abnegation of their previous existence. Hi ha'akdama v'ha'chana l'aliyasam. It's only the preface, the preparation for their rising upwards. Me'olam hazeh le'gan Eden, from this world to Gan Eden, which is an aliyah shelo be'erech. It's an ascent. It's a quantum leap. It's not comparable to what came before. V'lachin. Bechol shana v'shana b'yom ha'yartzeit, and therefore every year on the day of the yartzeit, kasher mitarer ha'inyan k'mosh haya b'pam harishana, when we come back to this point of leave-taking. We come back to this launching, as it were, this quantum leap launching that happened the first time of the leave-taking from here. Yesh aliyah nosefes yesera. There's not just the pedestrian going higher of the everyday, Michael El Chayil, but there's aliyah shelo be'erech aliyas hakodmos. There's an aliyah that is completely out of the ballpark of any aliyos that came before that. Umizeh she'amru chazal she'tzadikim ein lehem menucha gam ba'olam haba gan eden. And the Rebbe said, and from this, that Chazal found it important to teach us that a tzaddik doesn't have menucha, not in this world, and not in olam haba, dilach ora, harezi hilchas ala gan eden. It would seem that what happens to a tzaddik has to do with Gan Eden, not with us simple people. But since Chazal taught us that even in Gan Eden, there's an aliyah, a constant aliyah for the tzaddik, muchach shegam zeh, sheyesh aliyah tzaddikim Gan Eden, nogea bavoda ata. It proves that this is nogea to the work that is done in this world and for all of us. V'hainu, ki al yedei aliyah tzaddik nichoyel al choyel. So listen to this. Through the aliyahs, through the ascents, the various ascents that the tzaddik experiences from strength to strength, this helps and this gives an infusion of strength to all who are connected to this tzaddik. Lomdim Torah Savachule, those who learn his Torah, etc. It gives us an incredibly exalted infusion of kochach in our spiritual work, la'alos mechayel al-chayel, that we too should be able to rise upward from strength to strength. So even though in Chabad, one of the main ideas is that we can't just hang on to the tzaddik's coattails and have the tzaddik do all the work for us, but we have to do the work for ourselves with our Chabad and with our Chagas and Nehim, b'chule b'chule. But still in all, by learning the Torah of the Tzaddik, by being connected to the Tzaddik, we get this tailwind that can take us to places that we can't go by ourselves. U'befrat b'yom hayartzeit. And especially when we're talking about a yard site, and then the aliyah is with doubled strength and doubled vigor. Ches, al pizem move on. Through this we understand, shemayla yesera v'nifla v'nogeh l'histalkos hakshura b'golos. And here, this tremendous poignancy in this last if of the sicha, because I don't know if you could say this, but like you could feel the personal pain that the Rebbe is describing about the circumstances in which his father lived his last years and died. He says that now we can understand how much greater and wondrous is the histalkos that is connected to golos. My father, my teacher, that passed in Golos. What is the explanation? Explain to Sefer HaChinuch. Asher tsa'ar Golos, that the pain of exile, shokul kimat kitsar misa, it's equal almost like death itself. Shenifrat adam me'ohavav, because the person is separated from his loved ones, from his place of origin, and he lives his life among strangers. And the Rebbe says, but actually, there is some tsar, there is a pain in Golos that eclipses even the pain of death. Shetzar golos hutzar misa shenimshach zman rav. When you die, you die. When you die, it's done. But the pain of golos keeps going. V'lachein kiyum haTorah mitzvos begolus limros hatzar hakasher hazeh. And therefore, the keeping of Torah mitzvos, irrespective, in spite of, and in the face of this terrible pain, harei zeh maila yisera v'nifla'a. It's much greater and more wondrous level. And in brackets, it says al derech, as we see, mi sha'amir azal, our sages taught us that al mali negdu l'chanani mishal bazaria. We know the Hanani Mishael Bazaria were able to sustain a tremendous test. But the Chazal tell us that if it would have been elongated, if that test would have been drawn out, we don't know if they would have been able to do this. Even though they submitted themselves to dying in a fiery furnace, but if that would have taken more time, if the test would have presented itself in elongated fashion, we're not sure what would have happened. So the Rebbe says, imagine what it takes. What is the maila yisera v'nifla'a to keep the Torah mitzvahs in the galus that my father was in? And so in commensurate measure is the aliyah that comes with the shivrei haluchos, with the death, with the leave-taking. Because we have a rule that according to the pain is the reward, that there's symmetry. So the ascent that comes after this kind of pain, after this kind of descent, it is a most spectacularly high level in the already exalted level of the leave taking of a tzaddik from this world. But if this leave taking is of such spectacular level that eclipses even the regular level of leave taking of a tzaddik from this world, this is also true when we talk about the help and the way in which all of those who are connected to that tzaddik get an infusion of koch on that day. What Razal taught, that wherever the head goes, the rest of the body follows. So we're connected to the Baal HaYilula, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak. And the head, in other words, his ascent, his leave-taking was of such a spectacular level. So we follow, the body follows the head. We get a spectacular infusion of kochos. Even though we find ourselves in different places. How do we do this? Bifrat al yidei limud Torah, especially through learning his Torah. And that's why it's such a schus that we get the chance to come together and eke out this very precious crevice in time. We all have so many things we have to do. But look at what the Rebbe is telling us, that when we learn the Torah of a tzaddik, we connect to the tzaddik. She'azhar is a yichud nifla. This is a wondrous unity. She'ein yichud kamohu. There is no unity like the unity of learning the Torah of the tzaddik. The loike erka nimtza klal begashmias. And you cannot find such a unity, a parallel to such a unity, in any physical temporal realm. Bal derech zeh bechlolus havona. And this is also true in general to all of the spiritual work. Al yedei avodas ha'aliyah mechoyel el choyel bezman ha'golos, through constantly going higher and higher in our avoda in zman ha'golos. The neshama beguf u'degolos zeh betoch golos. So now the Rebbe kind of reminds us how many golios we're in. You know those matryoshka dolls that come from Russia? People used to bring them as a souvenir from Russia. Smaller doll and a little bit larger doll, a little bit larger, but they're nestled in each other, the nestling dolls. So first of all, we have the neshama beguf. First, we have the golos of the neshama that comes out in a guf. Then, like we learned last week, there was a zulma, there was a spiritual pollutant that filled this world because of Eitz HaDaas. So this made a completely different kind of golos. Shadanu b'geirushin, like a divorce between us and Hashem. Then we have on top of that the galus that we are exiled from our land, from Eretz Yisrael. And then in the exile, we were exiled from place to place. And in this galus, shebegalus, there's another level of galus. And that is all everything that we're busy with in all the days of the week, in all the chol. But all of this, harezeh, hachana, but all of this we know is always just a catapult, right? The night is just to catapult you into the next day. The galus is to catapult us into the geula. Harezeh hachana lahavoda v'hadarga lemaila me'alios. This is all to prepare us to this highest level that is higher than all other levels of sense. Avodas yom hashabbos. We're going to go from all of this galus and all of our infatuation and preoccupation with chol. We're going to go to the avodah of yom hashabbos umnucha l'chaya olamim. We're going to go to the everlasting Shabbos. The shana hashris Shabbos lahavaya. We're going to go to the seventh year, which we know is a Shabbos to Hashem, to the Elef HaShvi'i, to the seventh millennium that has to follow the sixth millennium that parallel the 6 days of the week, and then has to come Shabbos, and then has to come Yemos HaMashiach. We're going to come to Yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha L'Chaya Olamim. And then there's going to be Menucha, because till then, Ein Lehem Menucha, Lo Ba'olam Hazeh, Lo Ba'olam Haba. So everybody, you know, roll up your sleeves and let's get our sneakers on, because we still have a little bit more of this marathon that we have to run, and we can't stop now. Ein lehem menucha. So I just want to remind everybody again that if you want to get a calendar notification of this year every week, please go into the chat box and follow the instructions that are there. Thank you, everybody, for this wondrous opportunity. And let's have the most wonderful week. Michael El Chayil.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
It says here that you're recording it. Where can we listen to the recording if we didn't have time to listen to the whole thing?
So they're all archived on Project Likutei Sicha's website.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So there you can get the recording. You got the audio recording there.
Okay. Thank you.
You got me nervous. I thought it was a question of a sicha, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to answer. You got my heart accelerated. My heart rate accelerated.
No, it's very good. Very enjoyable. Very good. Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Much.
Have a wonderful, wonderful
sneakers
week.
Are on.
Sneakers are on. Sneakers are up. Excellent. Kol tov.
Thank beautiful you. Share. Thank you, Revki.
I don't know if she sees us. Nope, I think she went off.